This is the Off the Break Podcast, your podcast dedicated to current movie theater news, operations, and insights from the people that book the movies. Now, here are your hosts, Cody, Kyle, and Ken.
Get ready to fall in love with May with the all-new Off the Break Podcast. We've got movies. Movies, movies, movies.
We got more movies, and we kick it off with The Fall Guy, which, by the way, nice intro to the show. It's good to be back.
Every week, wide releases. For the next 4 weeks.
For the next 4 weeks, and they're PG-13s for the most part.
Or less.
Or less. And it's like, finally, and the month of our April is over, and now we're into PG May.
April.
No,
we're back, and the projections for Frog Guy aren't great.
To kick things off.
They're not as big as, you know, originally expected. We're seeing 50, 60 million openings.
I think a certain studio distributing it thought it was going to be the next Barbie, and that's just not, it's not going to be that.
Well, when you got Barbie star Ryan Gosling and Oppenheimer star Emily Blunt,
you think
you're going to have a $2 billion project on your hands.
Well, it's got Winston Duke in it, so we've got to
stay excited
for that.
That's a $3 billion. I can't wait to talk about Winston Duke, by the way.
I'm so excited for this. Well, Thursday night, shows were good with 3.1 million. We haven't seen any big Thursday nights in a while.
Right.
Even with Civil War, which was the biggest movie of April, didn't have a massive Thursday.
Yeah.
So.
Well, this film is supposed to do twice as much as what Civil War
opened
to.
We haven't seen one since Godzilla. Right. So Godzilla. It's nice to see one.
Yeah.
You got to say the whole thing.
Godzilla.
No.
I don't know what the rest of it was.
Godzilla X Con.
Oh, yeah.
Godzilla
X Con.
You were part of this.
I forgot. It's been a while since I've been here, guys.
We have been spotty when it came to podcasts in April. Yeah. That's our bad. But
it's because the movies were so bad.
That and everybody was sick. We just all decided to be sick.
Kyle's still sick, but he's gutting it out.
Yeah. When was the last time I did get sick and couldn't be on a podcast?
I mean, it's been a really long time.
This whole thing is a Kyle vanity project. Let's make it very clear. But Kyle did not only feel good enough to do the podcast, but he saw Fall Guy last night.
Am I? Was I that good after coughing out my lung there?
Yeah.
No, I did make time to see the Fall Guy. And I was anticipating this like a lot of theaters have, just because, you know, it has a little flavor of everything that makes movies have a pop to them, like action, romance, comedy, movie stars doing the movie star thing. Like, what more could you ask for? And I think The Fall Guy does deliver on that. I wouldn't say it does it completely glamorously, but it does in a way to where it could pay for reintroducing audiences to this type of movie spectacle in the way that, like, comedies that we've seen have slowly been getting audiences to think more about wanting to go to the theaters to see comedies. I kind of think that The Fall Guy is going to be a good intro to reintroducing that type of genre.
Yeah, and I know they had this Fall Guy in their back pocket, so they use the idea of The Fall Guy, but standing alone, Kyle probably doesn't even know what the original Fall Guy was.
I don't know what the original one was. 70s show?
So, I mean, without that, there wasn't any issues with that. I'm sure they brought back Lee Majors at some point.
End of the movie.
Yeah.
End of the credits.
Because he is an old guy now.
He looked good. He looked good for his age.
He was a big fan of plastic surgery early, so.
I mean, somehow it worked for him. The one time out of many actors, it works. What a weird choice, but okay. Out of everyone you could have chosen. But anyway, yeah, you're right. This movie doesn't need the show to help it get a bump. Like, it's not relying on the show and its history to make this a worthwhile movie. The worthwhile part of this movie is Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt carrying the movie, basically, in terms of its chemistry. I think filmmaking wise it does a better job with like making the action spectacle of it all look very cool, but not so much like the romantic aspects of it. I think that's done a lot by the chemistry of the two leads, which is fine. Like, they're the movie stars. They're supposed to be the ones that are making you buy into their will they, won't they romance. And it works in the end. I liked what they had going for their characters. But what I really liked about the action the most was that it was a movie that was clearly trying to wave its arms going, hey, stunt work and action is really cool in movies, and we should take these things with more credibility and take them more seriously. And I think the action, while it does look like having that epicness that comes into a movie, it also feels a lot more behind the scenes, kind of. Like you can see like the extra layer of, oh, that's how, like,
you can see the crane shots and the wires and
yeah, something about mm-hmm. it makes it feel like you're getting like the inside look on how those action scenes are getting made while the action scenes are being played out. So I thought that was also kind of a nice touch to help people remember the movie a lot more.
Well, very cool. I know the ratings on the Rotten Tomatoes and stuff have been decent.
Yeah, I think it was in like the 80% range, 80, yeah. 90. And I would say that's good. Like, it checks off the boxes I want for these types of movies. It's funny in parts, has some good action. Again, the two leads are great. It's nice to see movie stars using their charisma and carrying a movie. And yeah, I don't know. I think it was very enjoyable. It was hard for me to see or get a feeling on if my audience was like loving the movie. I thought they were a bit too quiet considering this was a comedy. And it's not like a laugh out loud comedy, but it has good comedy in moments. But for some reason, my audience just, it wasn't like a group clicking sort of system to where you hope everyone's joining in on the fun of it all. I didn't have quite the great screening experience where I was getting that, unfortunately.
How was Winston Duke? Because Ken's very excited for this movie, not for Ryan Gosling or Emily Blunt, but for Winston Duke.
No, he rules. I probably fist pumped myself like three times.
Yes.
Because he's hilarious. He has great charisma next to Ryan Gosling. They have like a great action sequence to where they're using like his size and his strength to do some really cool stuff. Like, he just will clothesline a guy with his giant meaty arm, and you're just like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. So he was a great side character. I do wish they used him more, but just because he's just that type of actor to where he pops and you can't help but not like want to zone in and pay attention on him.
Let's... I'd like to see him in a good, like, a leading role where he could really, like, shine.
Well, he's a great actor, but then his physical stature, it's like, to put him in that spot.
I feel like he could be, like, a Dave Bautista, like, where he's funny, and but he's big and...
No, you need to put him in, like, Winston Duke is Commando. Like, Winston Duke is the apocalypse. Like, then he just wrecks people.
So not the character actor. You want the action hero.
I want the action hero. He's, I already know he's charismatic.
I feel like
I've already fallen in love with him multiple times.
You sold me on that. Give me the goods.
I get that. I want him to crush a guy's skull.
Let me see him in a tight shirt, sweaty all over.
What shirt?
No.
What are we talking about?
Skip that part.
Well, who would he high five?
What do you mean?
Who is his opposite? Like Arnold Schwarzenegger?
Oh, like Predator.
Yeah, like Predator. Who would he high five? Like, what would be that iconic high five, like, glamour shot for him?
It would probably have to be like a Dave Bautista. It would probably have to be somebody in that.
Or The Rock.
Yeah. No, you can't put him in with...
Is The Rock too old now?
You can't put him in with these tropes.
No one likes The Rock anymore.
You have to start something new.
Overdone.
You have to start something... This is why they're making this with two of the best known stars, because we don't have anybody else put in this place. So
we need some new fresh
people. Winston Duke and a Dave Bautista to do a buddy cop comedy.
No, I mean, Winston Duke, rom-com, action movie, small character role. Honestly, he's maybe it is divorced. Dave Bautista's stuff that I want. Like, let's see him try a little bit of Knives Out 3. I don't know.
Right, a little bit of everything.
Yeah, you would think so.
For some reason, I also thought Guy Ritchie. Actually, Winston Duke and the actor who's in Reacher, Alan Richardson.
Yeah.
Richardson.
Put those biceps next to each other.
There you go. Kyle nailed it.
Dave Bautista's one. Yeah. Alan Richardson is two.
Yeah.
We got it.
Yep.
All right.
And now we're both just visualizing it.
Yeah, that's all I'm thinking about now.
Yeah. I got your Predator sequel. There you go.
Yes, thank you.
And they fight an alien monster, so you don't have to make any of them the bad guy.
Yeah.
And they all live in the end. The movie's 5 minutes long because they kill the Predator instantly.
It's just
and
a short
they're just
film.
High-fiving
How
and bench pressing.
About 90 minutes long, but the Predator dies in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, and then they're just bench pressing the rest of the movie.
90-minute movie. What's that?
Yeah.
That'll exactly. be a topic for the next podcast. I'm so excited
yeah,
about
that's
it.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be one.
Oh, and Kyle and I both saw another movie this week. We got screeners of Ezra.
Yeah, from Bleecker Street.
Yeah, which is a comedic drama with Bobby Cannavale and Robert De Niro mm-hmm. and a surprise appearance by Rainn Wilson.
I think it was more of a surprise with Vera Farmiga. I don't know. I got a bigger jump.
Really? You did?
Not in terms of excitement, but just of expectation. Because I expect there to be like a comedic side character in a movie like this. Rainn Wilson can fit that bill.
Yeah.
Vera Farmiga was just such a blind spot on my radar for this movie that when she appears, I'm like, oh, there you... Oh, okay. You're in this movie too for 5 minutes.
Yeah. No, it was, you know, something that we knew was going to be on a radar for May 31st. It's R-rated drama about Bobby Cannavale having a son that's autistic, mm-hmm. and he... He's going through real struggles with his soon-to-be ex-wife and the son in school, and then he kidnaps his son and has a road trip across the U.S. To star on The Late Show with Jimmy Kimmel.
Right.
Like that's
He's a comedian.
That's the end goal of this thing, but it does enough to like gut punch you and then make you laugh. Like you have to balance that out mm-hmm. for it not to be like just a hard drama about autism.
Right.
For it to be like something that's so crushing at the end when you're done, you're like, it's just, that was so brutal to watch. I'm glad I watched it, but it was so brutal.
Or it just
enough humanness, enough, like human life is not all crushing blows. Sometimes there's
peaks and valleys.
Sometimes your kid clogs the toilet, you know, and you got to laugh about it.
Just sometimes.
In our house, it's often.
It's often. Wow. Boys.
What do you feed those kids?
I don't know. They're so picky. I have no idea where it's coming from.
Where's it coming from, guys?
They're so picky and they're so tiny and skinny.
Vitamins and chicken nuggets. And that's about all we get into them.
Apparently, that's the
the ticket.
Wow. Who would have thought?
Plumber's worst nightmare.
No, I echo what you say about this movie. Like, it does do a good job at being a friendly, familiar, emotional adult drama that I think can be relatable to a lot of families. And that was also the aspect that I really liked when it comes to, like, the topic of parents trying to understand their autistic child a lot better, is that it's not doing the old school form of showcasing autism to where it's so superficial and actory and just really cringy. It does so in a much more mild-mannered, realistic light, to where it shows, as I was kind of saying, the peaks and valleys of, like, there's good times, but there's not good times. You see instances where, like, his autism, like, makes him who he is, and that's special, but there's also times to where there's naturally frustration. It's not just for him, but also for the parents. So I think it was just very impressive to see it go at a very human and well-rounded portrayal of that type of living situation. And this movie also just made me really enjoy Bobby Cannavale a lot more. I mean, he's a good actor, but...
He could be the bad guy in the Predator movie that sends him into the forest.
Why are we so good at pitching
movies?
He's
just thick enough that he could put on a few pounds and be like...
Like he could hold his own?
Yeah, he's the guy that dies first, but he's still like...
He was still intimidating.
A big dude,
Yeah. Yeah.
Or his death could turn the tide of the movie. Like, maybe it's like what fuels the anger on the part of them to really get after the predators.
I like where you're going with that.
Yeah.
I was just impressed by those aspects.
Seen it by looking over my shoulder on my phone going, what are you watching?
I can still dig down to the human emotions of the film, though.
I still know how to feel.
Yeah.
I have feelings too.
I can make a scene, Ken.
Oh my gosh.
More ways than one.
Yeah. No, we all know. Well, on that note, we're going to make a scene next week and bring back Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
So we'll have Thursday numbers for you next week.
Right.
To get excited for step two of our 4-week-long process in revitalizing our movie theaters.
Oh,
getting people back in.
Finally, people back in.
Yeah. I just want to ask you then, Ken, about Ezra. I know it's more, it's coming from a smaller distributor with Bleecker Street. It's going to have probably a smaller release, but since it's going to be arriving at the end of May, just if you're seeing a possibility to where you think this is a doable movie for, you know, booking it in some of your locations or maybe other locations.
I can speak to that a little bit. I think it's perfectly positioned. It's right after Memorial weekend, so you don't have the bit, you know, like where all the studios are trying to crowd on that Memorial weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So it's right after that where you do need maybe something that didn't work or is finished after that, after Memorial weekend, and right before Bad Boys. So
that's
it's
the first
a good
June.
It's a good weekend in there to get something a little bit more dramatic, something for just adults.
And that being said, Bleecker is an awesome studio to work with. So when we have midweek openings for July 4th, what we consider it's a Thursday, but it's a midweek opening. So we have some partial weeks at the end of June we'll be able to fit in.
Yep.
We have some spots that are, you know, purposely skipping films to have a week for this later in the run. And this is going to be an awesome one for our fall film festivals.
Oh, absolutely.
Like this is a perfect fit.
This is one you do not have to play on at the end of May that is very playable all summer. There's not a timing component to this one. So
yeah,
I think there are a few films anymore, more independent, more upscale, that are able to be played longer after the release date. And this will definitely be one of them that it's good. It also gives exhibitors time to, you know, arrange with the community. Mm-hmm. If there's anybody that wants to sponsor like an autistic awareness or just like for parents with autistic children, just to like,
it definitely is rated R, but we can have, you know, fundraisers for off days, closed days, things like that, that we can figure out something. If there's an association for autism or disabilities or something, knowing that it's R-rated, it's not for kids, it's for to
this
bring
is
in
definitely for adults,
for adults to bring the community together and, you know, share some of this, because it was very much like I could see a parent of children with a multitude of disabilities like seeing themselves
identify with elements of this movie.
Totally.
And then the New Yorkness of it too. I didn't talk about the New Yorkness of it.
Oh, yeah. Like, you want to speak on it?
We don't have that a lot. Like, Godzilla's in New York City. Like, that's always the case. The bomb is always... Avengers are fighting off someone in
New York City.
In New York City. Like, that's always the case. But it never feels like it's just a big city.
Yeah. Atlanta, Chicago.
Batman's in Gotham, but it's New York. It's a big city.
Right.
Like, there's never anything like that. Mm-hmm. This felt like New York City very much.
Yeah.
Where it was like you actually got the tone and you felt like you were in the city living the life of him as a comedian.
I get what you mean though. Like it doesn't feel like a blank canvas of like insert any city you can think of and they live there. Like it definitely, the New York part of it is weirdly like not like a character necessarily, but it is like a component for how they are living their lives, especially for him, the main character who's a comedian.
Only reason
too.
I'm saying this is because Cody made me watch the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles last week.
Okay.
And
I loved it.
Felt,
I was like, yeah.
It felt like a New York City movie. Like it felt like you were like, it was made in the 80s. It was very like gritty.
It was made in the 90s. Ken.
It was made in the 80s. It showed in the 90s.
Showed in the 90s.
But it looked like it was, I mean, it was shot on film, but it looked like it was shot on VCR tape.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But it was like you felt like you were in it. And then I watched this like right after and I was like, it's a lot of New York I'm seeing being out here in the West.
And this is for a Ninja Turtles movie?
Yeah, it was wild.
Which like for Ninja Turtles, as I get nerdy here, like New York is, I would say, important for those characters.
They can
where they
only
live
in the sewers in New York City.
It's like,
it's like
Spider-Man.
It's like pizza.
If Spider-Man showed up in Lawrence, Kansas, he'd be really disappointed.
Uh-oh. Oh, yeah. I'm not safe here.
We spotted Spider-Man. He's in the same three blocks he's always in.
He's at the same water tower. But even for like Ninja Turtles and it being like a movie for kids, it is impressive all the detail that went into
that movie. Really stands up.
Oh my god,
up.
You guys are
going
to talk about this now.
About it, but that movie stands up so well. I love all the emotional like development of the characters, especially Raphael. Oh man, I just remembered why I loved that movie so much as a kid.
It's fun.
It is such a good movie.
I'm
going to
make her watch number two and ruin all Ninja Turtles for her.
I don't know if number two will ruin it for her.
Number three will.
Number three definitely will.
Yeah.
They travel back in time.
I already don't
like it's very problematic for 2024.
It was problematic when I saw it in, 2008.
Yeah. All the white people with Japanese accents.
You're like,
like, whoa.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we're trying number two tonight.
No.
Pizza Fridays and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number
two.
Come on,
guys. This is going to be so much fun.
Now she's in. She's Maybe. In. All right.
I don't know why. I rarely watch old movies. And I don't like going back and seeing things.
Didn't you grow up with these?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't go back and watch things that I've watched before. I like
so
only
if
new
the
stuff.
Movie's old. Does that mean
I am old? This was in the 90s. And even though I keep thinking the 90s is like 15 years ago, it's 30 years ago now.
Yeah.
And that makes me sad. It makes me sad.
We're so old that we just had an event at our kids' school. They played Rick Astley's Never Gonna Give You Up.
Ah,
and
yeah.
The kids were disco dancing to it because mm-hmm. they assumed it was from the 70s, I think. That's how old we are. I was like, oh my God, guys, that was 15 years earlier.
Did they yell that they were getting Rickrolled?
No.
Okay,
no.
So they...
They were too young for that.
So that's too old for them. Got
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they
okay.
were too young for that, but young enough that they thought...
That's disco music.
Rick Astley, new age synth music was yeah. disco.
It's the peak of disco.
On that note, I'm going to go jump off a bridge.
Yep.
Everybody have a great weekend.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Off the Break Podcast. Find us on all podcast platforms and be sure to like and follow our Facebook and Instagram pages at Off the Break Podcast.